Howdy, this is Biker Bob, and I like doing podcasts on Anchor because it's so simple. Because for me, simple is better. Hell yeah, I like telling my stories and about the biker lifestyle. So tune in and listen to the Biker Bob podcast right here on Anchor. Hell yeah. This is Biker Bob and a new Biker Bob podcast. You know what? I sure hate winter time up here in Maine. I come up here with Doris a couple months ago. Her mother took sick and, well, she had to come up and be with her for a while. So I said, yeah, sure, I'll go with you. Wow, big mistake. Boy, I miss my bike. And you can't ride up here because it's snowing ice everywhere and you freeze your ass off if you do. Man, I'll tell you, when I go back home, I'm going to jump on my bike and I'm going to go for a week and I won't be back. Man, I'll never spend the winter time up in the Northeast ever again. All you do up here when it's cold outside is just stay inside and watch TV. That's about all there is to do. Well, man, I'm a guy. I've got to get outside once in a while. But I sure the hell ain't going to freeze my ass doing it. You know, I'm usually out in my garage working on my bike or I'm downtown at the bar or visiting some friends somewhere or, you know, we're going on a trip. Man, I don't know what to do. I'm going crazy. I'm going stir crazy, man. This fucking sucks. I mean, I've done visited the Harley-Davidson dealerships all over the area, the county, about 25 or 30 times. I mean, you can't ride around in the showroom, but they're getting sick of me down there. They know me on a first-name basis. Hi, Bob. Welcome back. Man, I'm telling you, it's the only place I really like to go. I mean, I've been there so many times, I even asked him for a job, at least until I get ready to head back home with Doris. But they told me they can't hire me on such a short-term basis. But they did let me go in with the mechanics and watch them work. Man, that was pretty cool. I did learn a few things about the new bikes at the dealership. So it was worth a trip in there. You know, I don't have anything against the Northeast and up here in Maine. I think it's beautiful. It's beautiful country up here, and it's good riding country. But during the wintertime, fuck that. I'm heading south with the birds, that's for sure. Well, we're just going to be here for another couple weeks, and I'll just try to keep myself busy till I head back and see my beautiful bike. Oh, I miss her. Well, this is Biker Bob. I want to thank you for joining me in this podcast. Remember, ride to live, live to ride. Hell yeah.
Take the world in a loving place.
Hey, slow down there, old girl. There we go. Howdy, Biker Bob here. And you're listening to the Biker Bob Podcast. Today we're going to talk about motorcycle clubs compared to motorcycle gangs and outlaw motorcycle gangs. Okay? I'm going to tell you the difference. Now, a motorcycle club is a group of individuals whose primary interest and activities involve motorcycles. Simple, huh? Now, most clubs are either organized around a brand or make or around a type of riding, say, touring. Motorcycle clubs vary in a great deal in their objective and organizations. Now, mainstream motorcycle clubs or associations typically have elected officers and directors, annual dues, and a regular publication. Now, they may also sponsor sporting events, annual or frequent motorcycle rallies where members can socialize. Now, there are many great brand clubs, clubs dedicated to a particular marquee, including those sponsored by various manufacturers, modeled on the original brand club, the Harley Owners Group. Now, there are also a large national independent motorcycle clubs, for example, the BMW Motorcycle Owners of America. There are also specific clubs for women, such as Women's International Motorcycle Association, and clubs for gays and lesbians even, such as Dykes on Bikes. If you want to join a club, there's one out there waiting for you. Now, clubs catering for those interested in vintage machines, such as the Vintage Motorcycle Club, are also popular, as well as those centered on particular venues. Clubs catering for riders' rights, such as the Motorcycle Action Group, and charities like the Royal British Legion Riders Branch, are also popular. Now, many affiliate with an umbrella organization, such as the British Motorcyclist Federation in the UK, or FEMA in Europe, producing national and local branch club magazines and events are typical activities of such clubs. Other organizations whose activities primarily involve motorcycles exist for specific purposes or social causes, such as the Patriot Guard Riders, who provide funeral escorts for military veterans, and Rolling Thunder, which advocates for troops missing in action and prisoners of war. While neither of the latter two groups require a motorcycle for membership, they're motorcycling-oriented, and much of their activity involves rides. Now, there's numerous religious-oriented clubs, such as the Christian Motorcyclist Association, a biker ministry, charities such as Freewheelers and Emergency Voluntary Service, which use motorcycles to provide an out-of-hours emergency medical courier service, and clubs which attract memberships from specific groups, such as the Blue Knights Law Enforcement Motorcycle Club, for law enforcement personnel. Now, one of the first motorcycle clubs was the New York Motorcycle Club, which in 1903 merged with the Alpha Motorcycle Club of Brooklyn to become the Federation of American Motorcyclists. Later, the Motorcycle and Allied Trades Association, the MNATA, formed a rider division, which spun off into the American Motorcyclists Association, the AMA. Now, the AMA is the largest American motorcyclist organization. Now, it serves as an umbrella organization for local clubs and sporting events. As of 2015, the AMA accounts for over 200,000 active members and over 1,200 chartered clubs. Now, MCs and MCCs. The abbreviations MC and MCC are both used to mean motorcycle club, but they have a special social meaning from the point of view of the outlaw or one percenter motorcycling subculture. MC is generally reserved for those clubs that are mutually recognized by other MC or outlaw motorcycle clubs. Now, this is indicated by the motorcyclist wearing an MC patch or a three-piece patch called Colors on the back of the jacket or riding vest. Outlaw or one percenter can mean merely that the club is not chartered under the auspices of the American Motorcyclist Association, implying a radical rejection of authority and embracing of the biker lifestyle as defined and popularized since the 1950s and represented by such media as Easy Riders magazine, the work of painter David Mann and others. In many contexts, the items overlap with an unusual meaning of outlaw because some of these clubs or some of their members are recognized by law enforcement agencies as taking part in organized crime. Outside of the outlaw motorcyclist subculture, the words motorcycle club carry no extreme meaning beyond the everyday English definition of the words a club involving motorcycles, whose members come from every walk of life. Thus, there are clubs that are culturally and stylistically nothing like outlaw or one percenter clubs, and whose activities and goals not similar to them at all, but still use three-part patches or the initials MC in their name or insignia. In other countries, such motorcycle clubs will adopt the abbreviation MCC. Now, the outlaw biker gangs, or sometimes known as the 1%, you don't want to fuck with them. They're badass, and they mean business. Now, some of the most notorious outlaw biker gangs in the United States, there's the Warlocks, the Highwaymen, Black Pistons Motorcycle Club, Vagos Motorcycle Club, and you got the Sons of Silence, the Pagans, Banditos Motorcycle Club, Outlaws Motorcycle Club, you got the Mongols, and of course you got Hell's Angels. These biker clubs you do not want to fuck with at all. Now a lot of these guys of clubs that I just mentioned are pretty bad hombres. They may be involved in organized crime or drugs or anything. And if you don't understand how it works, you don't want to get yourself into something that you can't get out. Because most of the time, the only way out is to be killed. And I'm not kidding about that. It'll be 6 feet under, I guarantee. Now, I've been around some of these outlaw biker gangs, and I've also rode with a couple. I can't tell you who, because I'm sworn to silence. And if I ever break that silence, I could be hunted down and I can be killed. And that's the truth. So when I go to a bar and I have a few drinks, I'm very careful of the information I give anybody that I don't know, because they could be part of the gang or have connections with that gang. So you gotta keep your mouth shut. Like everything else, there's a code, and there's a biker code. And if you plan on joining one of these gangs, you better learn the code real quick, because your life may depend on it. Now, if you go out and you buy that brand new, shiny new Harley Davidson, and you want to become a real tough biker, and you want to join one of these biker gangs, there's a few things that you really need to know. Number one, now outlaw biker motorcycle gangs are anything but rebel nonconformists. To the contrary, they follow a strict military rank and file structure. And they implement an earned patch system, vote in officers, and insist their members wear uniforms called cuts. Now, motorcycle gangs are highly skilled warmongers, too. Killing can be a purpose and mission. They meet regularly in a so-called church to plot, share intelligence, discuss surveillance of rival gangs, and study their enemy combatants. Now, they learn details such as where their rivals live, work, and play, and they can be methodical killers, too. Now, they understand protocol and respect, and they understand the strict rules and regulations within their own club. yet many of them can't function outside the structure as a civilized member of society. So I guess that's why they join a gang. Now, many members of outlaw motorcycle gangs are former and active military personnel, and they've been reported on both U.S. and international military installations. Now, this legitimacy helps them facilitate criminal activity, such as weapons and drugs trafficking, or to receive weapons and combat training that they can then introduce to their gang. Now, the deplorable treatment of women by outlaw motorcycle gangs is well documented. But why women willingly subject themselves to such abuse by these gangs, it's even more disturbing. Now, a select few proudly wear their property of shirts, while so-called pass-arounds willingly submit to sex acts by multiple members. Within each gang is a female hierarchy, not modeled after the military. Women are first sheep, then mamas, and finally old ladies. So if any of you biker chicks want to become old ladies in an outlaw biker gang, you better think twice. Well, I guess what it all comes down to is the love for riding motorcycles. Whether you belong to an outlaw club, just a regular club, a group, or an organization, one thing's for certain, we all love to ride motorcycles. And whether you ride a Harley, a Honda, or you ride a crotch rocket, out there on the road, we're all brothers and sisters. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the Biker Bob podcast. With me, Biker Bob. Remember, live to ride, ride to live. Hell yeah, I'm out of here. Slow down there, old girl. Howdy. Biker Bob here with the Biker Bob podcast. Today I want to talk about working on your own bike. Now, if you're your own wrencher and you do your own work, then let me give you some advice. When you do work on your bike, you better know what you're doing, okay? Because if you don't, then you better find yourself a good quality mechanic that does. And really, you can look around and find one in your price zone, but I'll tell you, you're going to pay the most to get the best. And you want the best working on your bike. Believe me, I know. I've had friends of mine work on my bike for me, what you call weekend grease monkeys. And I'll tell you, I've been found myself smack dab out in the middle of nowhere, in the rain. That really sucks. Now, you own bikes long enough, you'll probably learn to do a few minor detail things with your bike, like change your oil and the filter, maybe the plugs, maybe a minor brake job, you know, things like that. Me, I do a lot of the minor stuff on my bike. Like I said, change oil filters, sometimes the brakes. But anything I'm not really sure of, I'm going to take my bike to Snake. You can bet your ass on that. And you know, most of the time, old Snake will do anything that needs to be done to my bike for probably a case or a case or two of beer. Boy, you can't beat that price, huh? And he even lets me drink a few with him. Now, even my old lady Doris, she does her own maintenance on her bike. I never do anything. She changes her oil, filter, you know, anything that needs to be done, she does it. My man, she's amazing when it comes to bikes. I love Doris. I mean, she'll even come in once in a while and ask me, does your bike need anything done to it? You know, and if it's something minor, I'll say, sure, Doris, if you want to. You know, and she's good that way, man. That's the kind of old lady you want to have right there. That's why we've been together so long. Now, I'm going to give you a few tips on how to winterize your bike. Tip number one, you probably need to gather up the tools necessary for winterizing your bike. Now, you'll need cloths, rags, spark plug wrench, trickle battery charger, 4 or 5 quarts of high-quality oil, a new oil filter, oil can or device to get the oil in the cylinders, chain lube, fuel stabilizer, a spray can of WD-40, a breathable motorcycle cover, kitchen plastic wrap, rubber bands, vinyl or plastic gloves, items to clean and wax your bike. Lastly, a nice location for your bike to spend the winter. A heated, secure garage would be ideal, to avoid wind, dripping water, vermin, mildew, and chemical fumes. Tip number two. Now give your bike a thorough cleaning. A gentle wash, detergent, and water will be sufficient. Now by removing the road grime and insects, you protect the finish of your bike. But avoid spraying water directly into the opening of the muffler. If the baffles get wet and they're not dried before you put it away, internal rust could result. Now likewise, avoid moisture in the air cleaner housing. If the housing becomes saturated, it could act as a choke, making your bike difficult to start. Dry completely with good chamois or any type of rags, and clean and polish all the aluminum and stainless surfaces with appropriate metal polish. Finally, finish up with a coat of good wax polish on all painted and chrome surfaces. Clean the chain, if you got one. Spray off all built-up residues with WD-40. Lube the chain. Now, tip number three. Add a fuel stabilizer to your gas tank. Now, fill your tank with gas as full as you can get it. Now, this is important. As fuel ages, more volatile components tend to change, leaving sludge and gummy substances, and that can affect the carburetor. Now run the bike so the gas and fuel stabilizer get to the carburetor and the fuel injectors. Then turn off the fuel and run it dry. Tip number four. Now, if you have a carburetor, drain your float bowls. Shut off the gas petcock and drain the gas from the carburetor bowls. Consult your manual for location of drain screws. Of course, if you have a fuel-injected bike, there isn't anything to drain. Tip number five. Once the engine's warm, you can change the oil and the filter. Oil chemistry changes over periods of extended storage, and old oil can develop an acidic qualities, which can corrode engine parts. Very important. Now, tip number six. Using an oil squirting device, put oil over the stationary tubes on the front forks. Get on the bike, hold the front brake, and bounce the bike up and down to work the front suspension. Now this will keep the rubber seals from drying out and protect the exposed fork tubes. Now, tip number seven. Remove spark plug wires and carefully, with a spark plug wrench, remove the plugs. Now with your oil squirting device, get some motor oil in the cylinders. Approximately one teaspoon of oil will work real well. Now tuck the plug wires away somewhere safe so they don't arc. Then spin the motor with the starter for a few revolutions to get the oil spread around. Remember to keep your face away from the spark plug holes. Oil will squirt out, clean and gap the plugs, and put them back in. Replace your plug wires. Tip number 8. You may want to remove the battery. Some batteries may require charging every 4 weeks with a battery tender type of charger. Built-up sulfates on the plates can ruin a battery during cold storage. Inactivity. A thin coat of Vaseline to the terminals on the battery can prevent corrosion. Now, this small step will mean an easier spring startup and no extra cost of battery replacement. Tip number 9. Now, if your bike has a liquid cooling system, check its level of antifreeze with a hygrometer. That's hygrometer. Drain, flush, and replace antifreeze if necessary. I suggest this replacement be done every 2 years. Don't leave the antifreeze level low or empty. This could lead to rust or corrosion of the cooling system. Now check all other fluid levels at this time. Tip number 10. Lube your cables. Now lube suspension and pivot points. Lube the drive shaft if you got one. Check the air cleaner and the fuel filter. Look at brake pads and give your bike a good once over. Tip number 11. Clean and treat all leather with a high quality dressing. Tip number 12. Now, if your storage location is bare concrete, I suggest using a piece of plywood or an old thick carpet. Now, this will insulate the bike from becoming damp. I also suggest storing your bike with all the weight removed from the wheels. A bike stand or something blocking if a wheel's lifted. A bike stand or something blocking works if you have a wheeled lift. Now, a center stand and some blocking will work too. Now, don't store your bike near any ozone-emitting devices such as motors, freezers, furnaces, or electric heaters. The gases created by all of these will deteriorate rubber parts. Now, tip number 13. With a clean cloth, wipe good quality light machine oil all over the metal surfaces except for the disc brakes. Now, spray a little bit of WD-40 in the tailpipe. Cover your tailpipe opening with air intake with plastic wrap and a rubber band. You can also cover drain hoses as well. This will prevent any pests from making a cozy with their home in your bike. And tip number 14. Don't run the engine for short periods of time over the storage period. This can lead to condensation due to engine and combustion byproducts in the oil. Well, those are just a few tips on how to winterize your bike by Biker Bob. Well, I hope this podcast has helped you if you're a biker all ready to put your bike away for the winter. I know when that time comes for me, a tear fills my eye to say goodbye to my old pal. But I always look forward to the coming spring when I can get her out and we can live to ride, ride to live one more time. Hey, I want to thank you for joining me, Biker Bob, on the Biker Bob Podcast. Like I said, live to ride, ride to live. Hell yeah. I'm out of here. Head out on the highway, looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way, yeah, darling, go make it happen. Take the world in a loving embrace. Fire all of your guns and pumps and explode into space. I like smoking lightning. Heavy metal. This is Biker Bob with another Biker Bob podcast. Now, today I'm going to talk about bikers, God, and religion. Now, I ain't going to get all mushy and preach a sermon or anything like that, but I think there's a few things that need to be straightened out as far as bikers, their faith, and believing in God. And I'm going to try to clear that up right now. Now, a lot of people think if you live the biker lifestyle that you're a badass, you don't care about people, you're probably into satanic rituals and stuff like that. Well, that could be further from the truth, man. You know, everybody I know, all of my friends that live this type of lifestyle and that ride bikes are probably the best people I've ever met in my life. I mean, a lot of them, they'd take the shirt off their back to give to you when you're down and out. And I can't think of one brother or sister that's ever turned me away or turned any of the other brothers and sisters away when they're in trouble. For instance, I can remember the time when Bobby and Jeannie, when they went through the ordeal with Jeannie's cancer. Man, that was a hard time for everybody right there. But Jeannie lost her battle with cancer and she passed away. And I remember hundreds of the brothers and sisters coming around, donating money, groceries, and helping with the rent, helping watch the kids so Bobby could go do things to get the funeral arrangements done and everything. I mean, everybody was there to help them out at a tough time. And man, that's what it's all about. I've only been to church a couple times in my life, and I really don't care about going in a building and sitting around with other people like it. It's not the people, but I just kind of feel uncomfortable. But I remember we used to go up to Lookout Point every Sunday morning about 6 a.m., and we had a brother named Brother Chopper. And I think his real name was William, but we called him Brother Chopper because he showed up every Sunday morning on a black chopper. And we'd all sit on our bikes there and watch the sun come up at 6 a.m. And he'd get out his Bible and start preaching a sermon. And it was really beautiful, man. I mean, it was quiet, the sun coming up. And those are the kind of moments I remember about church, and it was just beautiful, man. You know, and I can remember, and we still do too, when a bunch of us go for a ride or we go on a trip, we'll stand around in a circle and someone will say a prayer. We'll hold hands and someone will say a prayer on our travels so we're all safe. And, you know, it's just things like that prove everybody wrong, the stereotype about bikers and God and religion. I mean, a lot of my friends, they go to church. A lot of them don't. But it doesn't mean they're bad people or they don't believe in God. They all are family men, family women, and they take care of their families and their children, just like anybody else. You know, when I was a kid, my mama tried to get me to go to church and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I was just a rebel. You know, I just wouldn't go. And she'd say, Bobby, you really need to go to church once in a while. And I said, I know, Mom. But I'd go jump on my bike and away I'd go. I mean, typical rebellious kid, you know. But she always told me this verse right here from James 1:27. It said, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. You know, nobody earns more money for widows and orphans charity-wise than bikers all around the country. We do our charity rides year-round all over the United States, and we make millions of dollars for charities, widows, orphans, and anybody else that needs help around this country. And as far as being unstained by the world, well, Mom, I'm still working on that. You can't help it when you hang around a bunch of great guys like I do. Kind of rubs off on you. Well, I hope this podcast gives you a better view of bikers, God, and religion. You know, there's a lot of good people out there that live the biker lifestyle. Just because we ride bikes, wear black leather, don't mean we're evil. We're hard-working people with families, and we're trying to make it through this world just like anybody else. Well, this is Biker Bob with the Biker Bob Podcast. Thanks for listening. And ride to live, live to ride. Hell yeah, I'm out of here.
Like smoking lightning.